On the phone now, we have Enongo Lumumba Kasongo, also known as Samus, who's going to be appearing at Freedom Square in Troy on Tuesday evening. Welcome to the humid air over Troy, New York.
Hi. Hi, everybody out there in listener land.
What can you tell us about Samus?
So Samus, that name comes from an iconic video game, a Nintendo game, the original Nintendo, I should say, since it's 2019. And it's this game in which the main character is in an armor suit, and they're kind of a bounty hunter traversing this dark, cavernous world. And when you get to the end of the game and the armor suit comes off, you learn that this character is this woman named Samus. And I think now folks don't necessarily realize how important that moment was for me as a kid. But when I was playing this, you know, in the early 90s, there weren't a lot of playable women characters. And so Samus really spoke to me as someone who was powerful and could reject the ideas that even as a child I had been indoctrinated with about what women look like and in game spaces what women characters do or don't do, rather. So she's my video game icon.
So it's a superhero of sorts, a video game superhero.
Absolutely, yeah. I think that's a good way to categorize her.
And how does that translate into your hip-hop career? How do you make that connection? Do you see yourself as the Samus of the Steel Wheels?
Well, it translates kind of directly in the sense that I love video games and video game music. So anyone who listens to my music knows that I'm very reference heavy with, you know, particular games, but kind of geek culture more generally. I talk about a lot of the movies, pop culture, you know, comic books, cartoons that a lot of folks, self-identified geeks, kind of gravitate towards. But in a more philosophical sense, I really appreciate Samus because when I first started making music, I started with beats before I ever rapped any words. And one thing that I found that was really strange as I got older was that people in particular, often, you know, young men, they wouldn't believe that I was the person who had made the beat. So there was always this kind of inquisition or implication that I had had help or that it wasn't just me sort of working on it. And that's when I started to realize that gender was a really important part of my story. And that's when the character of Samus began resonating with me again, because she has this kind of hidden identity. And then when the revelation happens, it kind of flips people's gendered expectations and norms. And I wanted to do that with my own music.
So you grew up in Ithaca, New York?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I was born in Poughkeepsie and then moved to Ithaca when I was about 5.
So I know the music scene in Ithaca is very, very strong. Is it, and certainly for world music and all different kinds of stuff, for hip-hop also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that has grown over the past few years, I would say, in terms of diversity of hip-hop. I think you know, hip-hop has been a part of Ithaca, I'm sure, over the past 20 or so years, as groups like the Gun Poets have had a really strong presence there. But I think in the past 10 years and even the past 5 years, there have been a lot of, like, young cats, folks who are coming into Ithaca College or Cornell or, you know, folks who grew up there who are doing really interesting, weird, dynamic stuff that's genre-bending. And I also think that the infrastructure in Ithaca is there now to support a lot of, like, weird, strange DIY music. So that's really exciting.
So you have all kinds of interesting things swirling around you. I noticed by your name that it sounds African, maybe from the Congo. What's your background?
Mm-hmm. So my dad is Congolese, and my mom is from the Ivory Coast. And, you know, folks often recognize, and we were chatting a little bit about this earlier, that Lumumba is in my name, and that's a tie to Patrice Lumumba, the first prime minister of the Congo, who was assassinated by the CIA and to me has really been a symbol of what it looks like to be uncompromising in your work. And for me, that's meant being uncompromising in my artistry. But I think it's kind of a symbol for our folks across the board, as I've encountered other people who have come to Patrice Lumumba for inspiration.
And do you find that people recognize the name, folks in your age range?
Oh, yeah. People recognize the name, definitely. I would say I run in some fairly radical circles and radical spaces, and in those spaces, it's sort of like immediate. but even in you know, just academic spaces, it's been kind of a really interesting topic or way of getting in conversation with folks. And a few years ago, I ended up actually going to the Congo to lead a beat making session as part of a music and arts festival. And being there, that's when I really fully felt the impact of Patrice Lumumba. I mean, his image was still up in the music studio that I went into. People addressed me with so much love and reverence, knowing that there was this relationship there. So yeah, he continues to be this like guiding light for so many of us.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned academics, and I can't help but note that you are, in your bio, referred to as a recent PhD. So I don't know if you're the only doctor in hip-hop, but maybe one of the few. Tell us a bit about
definitely one of a few.
Tell us about your academic career.
Yeah, so I am, I have to keep reminding myself that I just graduated. So I was in the Science and Technology Studies Department at Cornell University. And so for folks who aren't super familiar with that, the way that I have kind of described it is people who are interested in thinking about how science and technology are socially constructed or are the end result of kind of human politics, interactions, decisions, and that's a really important way of thinking about these things that can often be framed as inevitable or having their own agency. So my specific area is this field called sound studies, which is kind of the intersection of a whole bunch of different fields, but the way that STS ties into sound studies is we think about how science and technology produce or measure what counts as sound or noise, and how noise is kind of culturally produced. Our ideas of what counts as music, all of those things reflect kind of broader cultural shifts and the technologies that we use to produce and make and think about sound. So, yeah.
Cool. Well, unfortunately, this interview is too short to get into your dissertation, which probably took a lot longer than 10 minutes, I would imagine. But
yeah.
I noticed, listening to your music, your video Time Crisis, you name drop Heidegger in there. I mean, how does the STS thing work with your music?
It happens not super frequently. I think for a long time, I kind of saw them as distinct universes. But increasingly, I think as I became more comfortable using my voice as a musician, I began to realize that, you know, this thing that I've been working on for 8 years, it's time to let that be a part of my musical expression. So it's creeping in. And I think in my future projects, it's going to be a much bigger part of how I kind of express myself.
Do you see yourself in a dual career, academic and music, or do you think you're going to go one way or the other?
I think I'm going to try to pursue a dual career, whatever that looks like. So I was recently hired as a postdoctoral fellow at Brown in the music department, which is so exciting to me because I didn't move into academic work thinking that on the other side there would be this position where my, you know, extracurricular activity that became my sort of main focus would be the thing that would bring me, this other career. So as much as I possibly can, I would love to straddle both worlds. And I think being in a music department will help me to do that because it's a space in which my scholarship is my music. My albums are seen and can be seen and regarded in the same way that papers or talks or books might be seen. So that's really exciting to me.
And what can folks in Troy expect at Freedom Square on Tuesday?
Oh my gosh, it's going to be such a great show. I have a live band with me. I don't always perform with them, but I knew that I wanted to bring them there, especially because this is an amazing feminist space. And I think it's just going to be a high energy, vulnerable, emotional, complex space in which we'll talk about and think about all of the things. And I can't even wait.
Awesome. That's really great. Is there anything you want to add?
I just want to say I'm really excited and grateful for this opportunity, and I'm just excited to hang out with folks and check out Troy.